Well, it definitely sounded like many of you were familiar with that song. So, praise the Lord. The last part of that chorus, they changed it. I'm sure you noticed a little bit. They changed the fourth time we sing through the chorus, and they added the words, "What a love, what a cost." Take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And I would draw your attention to verse 6. Romans 5, verse 6. And there we read, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." There's a phrase in the middle of this passage from a very familiar verse that I'm sure most of us could quote today. It's found there in verse 8. God commendeth his love. Now I want you to make sure you understand what that word commendeth means this morning. How many of you have ever commended another person? We use another word that's kind of associated and tied to that word. It's the word recommend. And so we recommend, but we commend. When we use in that sense, we use it in the sense of praising someone for what they may have done or for who they are. We speak of them as someone that we can further recommend to you for something. And I'm thinking of something. I've never used it. I've never even been on the site, but I see advertisements about Angie's List. Anybody know what Angie's List is? Well, Angie's List apparently is a list that you can go to if you're looking for someone to do some work for you. And there's a list of recommended people who could do that service for you. And they have different people who have written commendations or commending these people to you. But guess what? That's not how this word is used at all in the book of Romans. This does not just mean that we are praising and recommending God's love. But this actually comes from a word in the New Testament that talks about setting two things side by side. That's what the word commendeth here means, to set side by side. And it kind of has two New Testament meanings. Sometimes it means setting two people side by side and introducing them, you know, commending them to each other, setting two persons side by side. But also it means setting two things side by side, and that one confirms and is proved by the other. So there's a comparison going on. You set two objects beside each other, and they commend one another by the comparison that's going on there. And it's in this second and latter sense that this word is used here in Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that God is setting his love side by side with something so that it can be demonstrated and proved. And what do you think God is setting his love side by side here? The cross. That's what he is setting his love by here in this verse. He is commending his love by what Christ did on the cross. We can see his love and understand his love by what he did on the cross. I've told you this before, but I had a college professor, Dr. David Wingate, when I was in seminary. Dr. Wingate, I had him for many of my theology classes. I had him for Christology. I had him for eschatology. I had him for bibliology. I didn't have him for everyone, but I had him for many of my theology courses. And especially when we're in Christology, he probably said this two or three times a week. He said, never separate who Christ is from what Christ did. And never separate what Christ did from who he is. Because you cannot understand either without putting them together. And that's what this verse is teaching us. But God commendeth by setting his love down. And then he taught us about that love by what Christ did on the cross. And so this morning, as we prepare our hearts for the Lord's table, I want us to just consider this commending of Christ and of God's love this morning. Commending it. You know, another word could be used here, the word proved. But you know, prove kind of has this cold, impartial thing that speaks to your head, right? You're going to prove it. Here's the hard, cold facts. Going to prove it. That speaks to our head. Commending is a word that speaks more to our heart. And this morning, I don't want us to just acknowledge the love of God here. I want us to acknowledge the love of God here in our hearts. And not just a fact. You know, does God's word tell us anywhere that God loves us? Yes, it does. Over and over and over, we are reminded that God loves us. But you know, this morning, there are people to say, oh yeah, I know that God loves me. And so you would say, well, why did God then have to prove it? Why did he have to demonstrate it? They know. And you know, today, I think, just based upon what we see in world religions, what we see in mankind's hearts and minds, what we see taking place all around us, that people who may say, I believe in the love of God, really know nothing about the love of God. And to those of us who are here this morning, I believe the majority of us are believers in Christ, we don't have to have the love of Christ proven or commended to us today. But I believe that there is a need for us to understand that God not only told you that he loved you, God showed you that he loved you. And that's what this passage is talking about. But God commendeth his love toward us. There is a need today for us to be able to see the love of God in action. You know, it's sad that a lot of religious people in the world today who believe in God and actually believe that God loves us, often question that love. And rather than responding to his love, they respond more to a fear of God. Now, I'm talking not necessarily about a reverence for God, but an actual fear of God. And so they think God is cruel, and God is somebody that will punish them. And you know, it is true that those who reject Christ and continue in their sin will one day face the wrath of God. And yet, they will on one hand say, I know that God is love. And then there are others that go to the extreme and never, ever talk about God's wrath or God's holiness. And all they ever want to talk about is God's love. As some real mushy thing that just overlooks all the wrong things I've ever done because God loves me. And yet we find that there's a need to balance always the love of God, because the love of God was so great that it caused him to do something so that we could escape his wrath. Now, I want to overemphasize this because I don't want to be misunderstood. Why did God do all this? If we say that he did all this just for us, we have missed the point. Because that is very man-centered. And guess what? It's not all about us. It's all about God. And he did it for his glory. Never forget, the only reason God ever saved man was for his glory, not for man's glory. Now, the fallout of that was we were really blessed. We were really blessed by God choosing to save us for his glory. Wow. But there are so many who have wrong ideas, wrong thoughts about the love of God, that God said here in his word, well, I'm going to show it to you. I'm going to manifest it to you. I'm going to commend it to you. And how am I going to do that? By pointing you to Jesus Christ on the cross. That's how I'm going to commend my love toward you. And so this morning, there are those who in one breath will say, I believe God is love. But then they will question that love when they see storms and earthquakes and disasters and harshness and pain and death. And they will say, well, if God is so loving, then why did he allow this? May I again remind you that all of those things are a result of sin. And were it not for the fact that God stepped in love and proved that love and demonstrated that love, we would all be lost and undone today. Yes, there is the fact of suffering. There is the fact of hopeless lives lost in sin. And yet, Christ has reached out in love and died on a cross. And the death proves the love. But in a moment, I'm going to reverse that. I'm going to say, the love proves the death. They work together. And so, again, you know, I have been so blessed with my faithful wife for almost 45 years now. I kind of remember the first time I tried to tell her I loved her. It was not easy on the campus in which I was going to college to do that. And even before that, I had tried showing her some ways that I loved her. I think I told you about the olives and the roses and those things. And, you know, that love over the last almost 45 years has just continued to grow, and it gets demonstrated day after day after day after day. And God demonstrated his love on the cross. And I want you to look at the word there in verse 8. Tell me, in what tense is the word commendeth? Present. It doesn't say God commended his love toward us. It says God commended. It says commendeth. That's a present thing. For over 2,000 years now, it didn't matter what generation you lived in. It didn't matter whether you were Paul the Apostle or Martin Luther, or any number of men and women down through the centuries. Every century has this: God continues to commend his love toward us. That's us. And how did he do that? By Jesus Christ dying on the cross. You know, I love to read of God's love. But I love to see God's love. And it was shown on the cross. This morning, remember my statement from my college seminary professor? Don't separate what Christ did from who he is. This love, by a death on a cross, proves that Christ is divine. You know, would Christ's love have been proven or demonstrated or shown by Paul's death? I mean, talking about his love for us, by Paul's death. No, not necessarily. He's not showing us his love. He may have shown Paul his love by providing for all that Paul needed up to that point. But would Christ's or God's love for us be demonstrated by someone heroically rescuing somebody at the expense of their own life? That might show somebody's love, but it doesn't show God's love. How could God show his love? He could only show it through that one who also was divine, and that was Christ. There was no other way, because Jesus is the eternal Son of God, because Jesus is God, because In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, that now this commending of Christ had weight to it because of who he was. And unless Jesus Christ had been the Son of God, whom the Father sent, and who came to be the propitiation for our sins, unless he was God, then that love could not have been fully demonstrated. It would have just been, as this passage talks, a righteous man dying and a good man dying. But then we have that great big word, but God. He didn't just show by some good men dying and some righteous men dying. It was God who died. And secondly, there's a very important word in that phrase. But God commendeth his love toward what? Us. And Christ died for us. This voluntary act of God in Christ, giving himself to die, demonstrated God's love, but it also was wholly and wonderfully beneficial to us. It brought us infinite and eternal benefit. He died for us, and he died instead of us. And so this morning, as we come to the Lord's table, God demonstrated his love by sending Jesus Christ to die. And he did that while we were yet sinners. Do you remember we pointed it out last week, but in the song that we sang, that I will arise and go to Jesus, there's a verse in there that said, if we wait till we are better, we will not come at all. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. And we need to come to him just as we are. Do you know, there is a black wall mountain of sin that separated us from God. And Jesus Christ demonstrated God's love and power in sending a wave of love and compassion over that wall that reached to you and I. And it's called the power of the cross. And so this morning, let's meditate. And let's remember that Christ died for us. But that was not easy. It was easy for us to get saved, but it's not easy for us to be saved. A lot of people want to talk about the love of God today, but they don't want to hear about God's judgment. They don't want to hear about sin. They don't want to hear about why Christ had to die. And this verse tells us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And verse 9 says, we shall be saved from wrath through him. But God commendeth his love toward us. And as we have the Lord's table this morning, we are going to be reminded of just how he commendeth his love. It took the death and the shedding of blood of his dear son. Let's worship him this morning. Father, prepare our hearts now as we go into this communion time. Father, help us to be reminded again of your great love. May it move our hearts, not just our heads, but our hearts, to want to be right with God. May it move our hearts to want to please God. May it move our hearts to want to do right. We pray that not only God's love is commending to us, but may we, through our obedience and our life choices, demonstrate our love back to God. And so I pray that you'll help us to deal with sin and to be right before you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.